Hi, I'm Father Mike Russo, and this is Sunday to Sunday on Monday. It's Monday, May 14th, and my guest on Sunday to Sunday on Monday is my good friend, Father Sal Ragusa. Hi, Sal.
Hello.
Let me introduce you. You are the campus minister at Holy Names University, and you've been doing that for what, 4 years?
Yes, this is the end of my fourth year.
Prior to that, you were 20 years at St. Mary's College of California.
That's correct.
So we're coming up close to our 25th anniversary as friends.
We are, yes, indeed.
And by way of introduction, I should simply say that you've been very much exclusively involved with campus ministry, although your ministry has been very far and wide. Interestingly enough, you began as a Benedictine, and then what happened to the monastery?
Well, our monastery was closed because of the few members that we had. We could not sustain an abbey, and we thought of merging with another abbey, but that didn't happen. And so I had at that time an option to look at other religious orders or other dioceses. And it was actually very much a blessing because at that time, Pope John Paul II was asking us to get more active with the need for priests. So I ended up joining an active and apostolic community, the Salvatorians. And the fact that I happen to be Salvatore, maybe I felt God was calling me there.
Yeah, the Society of Divine Savior. The motto being to proclaim the Savior by all ways and means. So you've done a lot of ways and means in terms of your ministry. Let's talk about yesterday. Where did you preside and preach?
I was at St. Perpetua's Parish in Lafayette, California.
And how would you characterize that parish?
Very family-oriented. I had two masses, and they were both very well attended, especially because it was Mother's Day as well as the Feast of the Ascension. The whole range from babies to elders, not too diverse, some Latino and some Pacific Asian, but basically a middle-class, upper-middle-class parish. And the pastor there, a good friend of mine, is just a wonderful priest who has built a very beautiful community of people who are really connected to each other.
Yeah, John Casper is a model of mine, as he is of yours, great preacher, yeah, and someone who I highly regard. So let's talk a little about yesterday being the Feast of the Ascension. It's Holy Thursday on Sunday, which creates some sets of problems liturgically, but we'll leave that for the side. But it's also a day when it's Mother's Day. Were you able to combine them in any way?
We had a special blessing for the mothers at the end of the Mass, and so I really let that hold the weight of the Mother's Day celebration. And I focused my homily on the Feast of the Ascension and the readings of the day.
Yeah, the reading, of course, yesterday coming from Mark tells us to go into the whole world and to preach the gospel with extraordinary signs, ways and means again. Let me ask this. Do you think we have too many post-Easter Sundays? By that I mean they seem to be a bit repetitious after a while.
It gets to be challenging, I think, especially when we get into all of the Gospels according to John. Sometimes I feel like we are just repeating ourselves, and John is repeating himself. And I think the basic ones of the appearances, post-resurrection appearances, I think are wonderful. But I agree with you. I think they get a bit tedious, and it's, how many different ways can we say the same thing?
So what did you say? What was your capsule of your capsule summary of what you preached about yesterday?
Well, I am thankful that we had some young people at both masses, because I took a chance and I started by asking the assembly. I said, so does anyone know anything about this country called Wakanda? And right away, the young people said, Black Panther. And I said, yes. I said, Wakanda is the place where we learn of the background of the Black Panther. And I said, and so that movie was a wonderful story to tell us about the origins of the Black Panther. I said, and there was many wonderful things about it, from the technology used to the scenery, the music. But I said there were several messages, and one was the one I wanted to focus on. And that was that there was a civil war in Wakanda because the people there had been given a great gift, the gift of this wonderful technology, healing, ways to transport themselves and transport materials. And all of this was unknown. And the question that came through the storyline was, do we keep it to ourselves? Do we use this wonderful power to oppress others? Or what? And I said, spoiler alert, the end of the movie, the new Black Panther says, we want to share what we have with all of you, with the rest of the world. And I said, I thought that was at least one aspect of the Feast of the Ascension and the Gospel. It is a moment when the disciples had to say, now what? We've received this great gift. We've learned so much, not just from the words of Jesus, but being with Jesus, experiencing him. And now that he has left us in one sense, now what? Do we keep this to ourselves? Do we use what we've experienced as a way to say, well, now we're going to get rid of the Romans? Or do we do what the gospel says, to go and proclaim to every creature this good news?
So the kids in the audience or the congregation obviously got this, because it's the most popular film right now.
They did. And interesting enough, I had many of the adults saying, I've got to go see that movie.
Yeah, because
they were very intrigued by this storyline of what happens when you're given a great gift and you have to make a decision. What am I going to do with it? And I thought this was a threshold experience for the disciples of Jesus.
So you're very experienced dealing with college students. And I think that's a help, because you have to kind of create a dialogue within that culture in order to bring them along, simply to do a scriptural analysis, as wonderful as that might be, may not be able to bring them to that deeper appreciation for the scripture that's presented that Sunday, or the doctrine that this, or belief system that this may represent, as far as our own church understanding of ascension, which is very kind of obscure, I think.
Yes. And you're right. I have preached on this before, and I have used other ideas, especially this whole idea of, where did Jesus go? Did he go up? Is Jesus floating in space? I don't think so. I think those are great things to think about and challenge people. But I have to say, I really knew that this parish had a lot of young people. And in fact, both of these masses, the students, young people who are going to be confirmed this coming Saturday at the cathedral in Oakland, were to be at one of these two masses. So I knew I had a pretty good group of teenagers, and I said, well, let me see if I could capture their imagination at the beginning of my homily and if they'll stay with me. And I have to say, from the feedback I got, I thought, wow, okay, that worked. But it also helped to know the parish a little bit. Even though I'm not there every Sunday, it was very helpful to know who am I preaching to.
Of course, it's a rather, in fact, it's an extraordinarily well-educated parish, and people who obviously do go to films. So in some ways, you're able to build on that strength and bring them to yet that period where you can, in 7 or 8 minutes, capsulize the intent of the feast day as well as the scripture. Let me ask again about Mother's Day. What I did was I have a prayer from Saint Anselm, which sees Jesus borrowing many of the best attributes, as we do, of our own mothers, and be able to use those maternal qualities in his ministry of healing and comfort for people. So it seemed to work for me. So in a case, in your case, they had a paraliturgy toward the end of the ceremony or blessing that brought women forward. How do they do that?
Actually, at that point, the pastor, John, Father John Casper, came and he invited all the women who share in nurturing and mothering to stand. And I thought that was very good. I think there are times, you know, those who, for whatever reason, are not biological mothers, and yet in many ways they're mothers and nurturing others. So he invited all of the women in the parish who wished to stand. And then there was the invitation to the community to extend hands and together to pray over them. And I believe the prayer was one from the Book of Blessings, but I'm not real sure about that. But it was a short prayer of blessing mothers, and but in a broader sense than biological mothers.
Now, more often than not, you're preaching at Holy Names University in Oakland. Describe that liturgical community.
We're a small community on Sundays, about 35 to 40. In addition to the undergrad and grad students who are part of our faith community, we have quite a number of the Sisters of the Holy Names. This is their school. And so the sisters in the area, some who are teachers and administrators here at the university, and others who are at the high school and other ministries. So we can have anywhere from 8 to 10 sisters. And then we also have some, I would call, folks who make us their intentional parish. They enjoy our music, our style of liturgy, and so a few of the folks who choose to come here for Eucharist each Sunday. But mainly it is a undergraduate and some graduate students. And I would say of the students, at least 75% are from families that are Spanish-speaking.
Which is very much the numbers, I think, nationally. There's so many, you know, people of Latino background that many of us who are Anglos have to be able to, you know, minister within English to many of those folks who might very well see Spanish as a first language. Let me get back to the notion of Mother's Day. When I was at St. Monica's in Moraga, which is right next door to Lafayette, often enough, Mother's Day, we actually had women give reflections that day. In other words, the homily was either very short or it was, you know, curtailed in such a way that women would have more prominence at toward the end of Mass, perhaps, or even right after the Gospel, where one or two women would kind of give their reflections as mothers of and people of faith. What's your thinking on that?
Oh, I think it's great. I think there are appropriate times, whether it's fathers for Father's Day, mothers for Mother's Day, to have those who have that experience to share that experience. And I have also been part of parish celebrations that have on Mother's Day have had women share their experience and their reflection, and very well received. I think as long as people are prepared and understand, this is an exception. This is, and there's a reason for it. It is well received, and I think it's a great thing to be doing.
One last question before we close out. Yesterday, I had the before as Mass was beginning, I find out that there's a it was a major attack in Paris, and then another sad attack at churches in Indonesia. Today, Monday, we hear of a number of people being killed on the West Bank in Israel. To what extent do you at Mass remind people of this, or do, are you specific or generic in terms of praying for those moments that are very painful, whether it's a an act of terrorism or issues that are happening in urban places like Oakland?
I tend to be very specific. I think it's important to make the connections. I mean, to me, that's any liturgy, but especially the Eucharist, when it's done well, it's making real connections between the ritual, the mystery, the beauty of the celebration of the Mass, but with people's lives. And I think it's really important. I will give an example, too. Just this morning, I found out that one of our Holy Name sisters died, very beloved here at on campus. She was teaching here until just a few months ago, and it was supposed to be maybe 20 of us celebrating my 30th anniversary of ordination, and it turned into be over 100 of us celebrating the life of this sister. And I just knew that we need to meet people where they are. And the power of the Mass to take people where they are and to move them to another place, in not to deny the grief and the pain, whether it's, as you're saying, an act of violence in our neighborhood or around the world, or a loss in our family, to be able to celebrate that, ritualize that, I think it has to be named. So I think that's very important to do.
Well, you're 30 years in ministry. Congratulations. Today's the holiday. Today's the anniversary. It's also a holiday in the sense that we celebrate the work that you've accomplished over these years. I must say, as someone who has observed and been celebrated with you, traveled to Italy with you, you're a man who has a great sense of your ministry, but also of people. And that's what the ministry is about. My guest has been Father Sal Ragusa, the campus minister at Holy Names University in Oakland, California. I'm Father Mike Russo. I want to thank our producer, our podcast producer, Tyler Bindi, as well as the music from Ken Canedo. Again, this is Father Mike Russo. We're talking on Sunday to Sunday on Monday.